You're listening to Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show. And now here's your host, Drew Marshall.
Great intro song for this interview.
Together we can see what we
talk about being stoned.
Oh,
jeez. You know what? A long time ago, I heard about a place called Teen Challenge, and I always thought it was a sort of a camp or something, but it wasn't a camp. It's a residential treatment center, faith-based, and what a reputation. They have such a great reputation. You may have heard they're the charity that sort of takes donated cars. So if you have an old jalopy or something that you want to do, even, it doesn't have to be an old jalopy. You can donate them a Mercedes-Benz, I'm sure. That'd be good. But Teen Challenge, I guess over the years, one of the main reasons that's really impressed me is because a lot of these places, pretty easily, you can get people talking smack about them just by what they do. You know, yeah. Let's say someone goes in and their family thinks they're all going to, they're going to get totally clean and everything's good. And then they leave and that's, they slip or they fall, they get back into it. Next thing you know, people are trashing the place. Mm. But they have such a great reputation. And I've never come across anybody who's, I don't know why I'm starting this interview like this. I've never come across anyone who's trashed Teen Challenge. There you go. That's my endorsement for Teen Challenge. What do you think? Should they write that down?
Brilliant. I think they should record this and play it back.
Dan Murray is the CEO of Teen Challenge Canada. Dan, you don't want to talk to me anymore, I'm sure.
Hey, good afternoon, Drew. You're doing just a fine job on your own there.
It's like, good luck with that, buddy. Oh, man. All right. Well, let's clear up exactly what Teen Challenge Canada is, right? What's the mission of your ministry?
Well, the mission is very simple. The mission of Teen Challenge reads like this: is to help men and women overcome substance addictions to lead full and productive lives. We come alongside men and women who are really in the midst of a life-destroying addiction to alcohol or drugs, and we work with them to get over that and get their life back.
Okay, and Teen Challenge Canada specifically, tell us about your organization. How many locations? Where are you located?
Sure. Teen Challenge is about, I think there's four separate Teen Challenge organizations in Canada. Ours is about 40 years old, and we have currently six centers in operation. So we have kind of a 52-bed men's center just outside London, Ontario. We have a 12-bed men's center outside Calgary in the town of Prittis. We have a 24-bed men's center in Allen, which is southeast of Saskatoon. We have an 8-bed men's center up in Sault Ste. Marie, and about a 15-bed men's center in Memramcook, which is just outside of Moncton. We also have a 20-bed women's center in Aurora, north of Toronto.
Wow.
Country, we have about 135 beds for first-year students, and then another 40 or so for what we call Phase 4, which is those that have graduated the program but want to stick around for a bit longer and keep working on the recovery and getting some experience.
Okay, it's a year-long program, right?
It is indeed, yeah. It's a year-long residential program.
But why a year-long? Why can't they just come for a month like the celebrities do?
Yeah, well, you know, we find that finishing matters. You know, it, when you're dealing with an addiction, and we're not talking about, you know, the occasional weekend binge or something like that. These are more serious addictions where it's pretty much got control of your life. And often for the folks that come into our program, they have tried several other programs. They've tried detox, they've tried 1 month, they've tried day treatment programs, or, you know, 3 month programs even. And it's just not enough time. It takes time to kind of repattern your life. It takes time to go deep and figure out what the root causes of your addiction are, and to learn some skills and some relapse prevention skills that you can take with you when you leave.
Okay, you guys have often talked about your program as sort of being a hard program. Does that simply mean you got to be there for 12 months? Oh, by the way, hold on. Let's say somebody signs up for it, and I don't know, 3 months in, they say, this sucks, and can they go? You don't lock them up, do you?
Yeah, there's no lockup. It's a completely voluntary program, and they're always free to leave. You know, it breaks our heart every time they do, because quite often they will revert, you know, to past behavior, and you know, we've seen people overdose, and you lose them, right? So it's heartbreaking. But, I mean, I understand. I mean, every time I talk to the students, you know, I get it. You know, you've given up a year of your life. You're living in close confines with other students, you don't really have a lot of control over your schedule. I mean, it can be a very fun place. It's an enriching program, but nonetheless, you're giving up a year of your life. And I say to most of the students in the program, I know that at least once a week, most of you have thought, you know, it's time for me to get out of here. And I just say, you know, stick it out, because if you invest this year and you get the rest of your life back, you know, it's just an awesome investment. So, but it is tough. I mean, you're living in the freedom of the street, so to speak, and then you're in this residential program that is fairly regimented, you know, with a lot of programming layered in for very good reasons. It can be tough.
Okay, why your faith-based program? You're Jesus people. Do you have to be Jesus people to sign up? Number one. Number two, do you have to be Jesus people to work there? And number three, does it have to be a Jesus program?
So I would say no, yes, yes. so the you know, you do not have to call yourself a Christian to come, but we're very open up front that it is a you know, there's a strong Christian component to the curriculum,
right?
And so we don't want to kind of lie to anyone and give them false expectations, but you know, you have to respect everybody where they're coming from, and our issue is addiction. I mean, we're trying to help people overcome addiction, and we've got some tools that we know work, but for us, the faith piece is very integral into it. Now, you know, what does it mean to be Christian? Well, you know, at the end of the day, I guess we are doing what we're doing because we're Christian, right? I mean, as we try to follow Jesus, when you look at the ministry of Jesus, he was always coming alongside the broken and the downtrodden, and those are the ones that he really took special interest in. And you know, you can't find a more broken person than someone that has lost their family, lost their kids, lost their job, you know, lost their health. Struggling with justice issues or whatever because of this addiction that they've gotten themselves into. And so, you know, for us to come alongside and sort of just demonstrate love in a very practical way, we that's living out our faith. And so that is at a core what it means to do this as a Christian organization. However, we also believe, you know, the Christian component of the program is a differentiating factor for us. I'm not, you know, saying it's for everybody. I'm not saying it's the only answer, but for those that come through, you know, there's a Christian narrative gives you know, people who are wrestling with addiction something they can grab onto. You know, like this idea that the past doesn't have to predict the future, that there's hope. You know, that you mean something, that God has a plan for you, and that He cares for you and loves you, and you know. I think people wrestling with addictions have very low self-esteem, and you know, they're probably hardest on themselves. And so, for them to experience kind of a unconditional acceptance and love in a Christian context, for us, that is, I think, a real driver for success going forward. And
I'm one of these jerks that really thinks that people don't really, really change. I think people change, but they don't really, really change. In other words, and I think this coincides a little bit with the addictions mindset. Once you're an addict, you're always an addict. Do you believe in that?
Yeah, it's a tough question. You know, as you said at the beginning, sometimes people do come to the program and then they end up relapsing. Not, you know, 100% of our grads do not make it, you know, all the way through.
Sure, and no one in their right mind would think you've got to have 100%, you know.
Yeah. So, but we, you know, I guess there's an element in which you have to be ready. I mean, you have to want to do this. You know, it's not, you can't do it because your spouse wants you to do it or because your parent wants you to do it. You know, you can't do it because the justice system is sending you there. You have to decide for yourself that I do want, you know, I do want to get my life back. So there's an element in which, you know, you've got to invest in it. Although we see a lot of people come in and they don't necessarily want to be there, but something does click in eventually. But the number of transformed lives that I've experienced and that I see and that, you know, years out come back and tell us how, you know, they got their life back. Maybe, you know, you could say addiction wasn't who they were.
Yeah.
And what we would say is addiction doesn't define them, right? Who they are, you know, people who are loved by God that mean a lot, that's who they are. The addiction is a side, you know, it's a distraction.
Okay, my final question for you would be this. On this station, there'd be a lot of Christians listening, a lot of faith people listening, a lot of people. Well, on our show, we have people from a variety of faiths that listen. But let's specifically talk about Jesus people. And in the church scene, you know, there's something that says, well, if you're addicted to X, Y, or Z, as we say in Canada, then you're not really a Christian. You can't really, you know, you obviously don't love the Lord. You obviously haven't given your life to God. You obviously aren't following Jesus. You're not obedient. You're not reading your Bible enough. You're not praying. You know, the usual wah, 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 Charlie Brown teacher stuff. What do you say to the addict who's listening right now, who believes that they're a loser, basically a spiritual loser, and they need to go away and get their act together, and then they can come back to God? But until they stop this goofiness, they can't call themselves a Christian, they can't go to church, they can't go to God.
Well, you know, I think it's just so counter to everything that Christianity teaches. And what I would say is, as I hang out with people who are in our program, I mean, they're very interesting, very unique people, obviously loved by God with a deep faith. And you know, like, you know, you've heard the expression that the ground's really flat at the foot of the cross. You know what I mean? All of us desperately need grace, and all of us desperately, need forgiveness. And, it doesn't matter what it might be, whether it's addiction or, you know, some hidden pride or greed or whatever. I mean, we all are wrestling with something. And so there's really not a whole lot of difference at the end of the day between, you know, someone wrestling with addiction and the rest of us. It was just, that's how their particular thing manifested in their life.
Good.
Grace is for everyone.
Good for you, man. Good for you. All right. Well, we've got someone else we're going to chat with in just a second. Just want to make sure she's there. Jenny, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Jenny's been eavesdropping. You didn't know that, did you, Dan?
I had a feeling. Hey, Jenny.
Hey, Dan. How's it going?
Actually, hey, listen, congratulations on the arrival of that little guy, by the way. That's just awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you just got married?
No, I just had a baby almost 2 weeks ago. So,
well, congratulations. Way to have a baby.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Dan, can you please, I guess, help our listeners help you? Help us help you. We need our listeners to partner with you. We need them to volunteer with you. We need them to give you coin. How do we do that?
Well, there's a bunch of different ways, but I'd say go to the website, teenchallenge.ca. Find out if Teen Challenge is coming through your church. We're in about 500 church services a year. You can donate a car. We're launching a capital campaign right across the country. We're adding 4 new centers, St. John's, Ottawa, Women's Center in North of Saskatoon. We're doubling our Men's Center in Calgary. So there's lots of stuff going on, lots of opportunities to partner with us either financially or by volunteering. If you live close to one of the centers, we'd love to have you connect with us. We have local ambassador teams that advocate for us and come alongside the students and, you know, take them to appointments and things like that. So there's many different ways you can get involved. And, of course, financially is a big one as well. We're 100% donor supported.
Hold on. How the heck do you do that? You've got 4 billion centers going on here. You're helping thousands of people. There's no way you can run this ship on just donations.
Well, the generosity of our supporters just blows me away. I mean, I sort of have this sense of there's this large group of people over here that, you know, don't even know our students, but they believe in the program enough to write us some checks, and they're supporting this, you know, well over 100 students coming through our program every year, and it's an unbelievable thing. So there's a lot of ways you can sponsor a student. We have about 7,500 monthly sponsors that will be connected with a particular student going through the program and pray for them. Hold on.
So this is like a sponsor a child kind of thing, except you're sponsoring an addict.
Sponsoring an addict, that's right. Sponsoring a student to our program.
Oh, sorry, you say student.
Center. Yeah, we call them students, and, you know, I guess as we said earlier, addiction doesn't define them. But we also, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, do have a vehicle donation program. We'd love to take your car. If it's a junker, you'll still get a tax receipt for the recycle value of it. We'll take it off your hands, and we're actually about to embark on a chain of Teen Challenge thrift stores, which will be opening and near where we have a center, and we'll have students that will be working in those.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Program as well.
That's a great idea, because the only thrift stores that have any sort of real branding to them are the Salvation Army ones. So they need a little competition, I think. This is good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So we're looking forward to that. And of course, people can online. There's lots of different ways you can support.
Good for you.
And we have like an awesome team of what we call development officers. Pretty much every one of them across the country are graduates of the program, including the amazing person you're about to interview.
Well, that's a lovely segue. I think we should say goodbye to you, Dan Murray, because, you know,
We're done with you.
I'm just the CEO. The real story's coming now.
Exactly. So. No, and listen, this is exactly why I wanted it set up like this, because you're right. I mean, look, there's so many charities with their hands out these days, and how do you decide which one to partner with? Well, I think once you hear a heartbeat behind a story, it's like, you know, no one gave a holy grunt about the refugees drowning as they're trying to escape, you know, whatever country it was they were leaving, until we all saw that one picture of that little boy on the beach. Nobody really was able to grasp the destruction that happened in Nice until we saw, you know, just that one snapshot of that little doll beside the girl who was run over by that jerk. So it's the story behind it all, and that's why Jenny has joined us. So thank you for your time, Dan Murray, CEO of Teen Challenge Canada.
True, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having us on. Appreciate it.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye now.
Jenny?
Hey, Drew.
Let's talk about Dan.
Yeah.
he's gone now, so let's...
We can do that
let's
now.
Let's throw him under the bus. You were an addict. You are an addict. You're clean. How long have you been clean? What's the story? How'd you get all screwy?
Yeah. Well, I went through Teen Challenge in 2011 to 2012, and can happily tell you and your listeners that I have not used drugs or alcohol at all since 2011. So I have maintained sobriety that entire time. Really what made me all screwy, as you would say, is, you know, I was, what I kind of say, I was leading a double life. So I had, appearance-wise, everything looked put together. My husband and I were newly married, new house, new cars in the driveway, our grown-up jobs. But we were facing news that, for us, having children was going to be difficult. We were told it might not be possible. And really, that just kind of threw me into, I guess, serving myself and living by the world's motto, if it feels good, do it. And for me, it wasn't too long. I was just living a lifestyle on weekends and evenings of partying, getting high, and being unfaithful to my marriage. So really quickly, that turned into a full addiction to cocaine, MDMA, and alcohol. And it was just completely life-controlling. So... yeah, it was pretty messed up, and all of my secrets came to light. Didn't take too long.
How did that happen? How did you get busted?
How did I get busted? My husband showed up where I said I was going to be, and I wasn't. One thing about addicts, as we get further into addiction, I guess the lies, you get deeper and deeper, and you just can't remember the last one you told. Hmm. And that's exactly what happened to me. And so I was driving home. I drove home to our house, and my husband and I were working through the details, you know, saying I guess the only way to solve things would be to get a divorce. So we were talking about that, and I just lost it, Drew. I was so angry about everything, and I lost my temper. My husband, Paul, he left the house, and 2 hours later I was called by the police, and I was charged with domestic assault. And that quickly became my rock bottom, because I was calling out and reaching out to my new circle of friends, and no one wanted to take my call on a Friday afternoon. And that really raised my rock bottom for me, just to realize what I'd done with my life and where I was taking myself. So I was pretty angry, and it was just a crazy couple events, because about 7 months prior to that, my parents in their 50s had just become Christians. And so when all this came to light and I was telling them I had been arrested, they asked if I'd go talk to their pastor. And I was not a Christian, and I just said, like, what do I need a pastor to tell me that I've screwed up my life? Like, I don't need that at all.
Nope.
And they just said, you know, well, Paul's been talking to this pastor. And so I said, well, I'll go, but I'll go on the record kind of just to set the things straight and set the record straight. But really, it was during that meeting that I guess I would tell you that God had other plans, and I learned about Teen Challenge. And it wasn't anything super spiritual. The pastor just asked me, he said, Jenny, can you describe what a healthy person looks like? And so I did. And then he said, how do you fit that description? And I said, I don't. And so...
that was pretty good. I like that line of quite. That's not sort of a... I don't know. That's not ambushy, I don't think.
No, and if he started to be... I mean, I wasn't in any kind of walk of faith, and I was very ashamed of my behavior. The last thing I thought I needed was to be in condemnation from God. So it was pretty wise on his part. And he just said, do you want to get help? And I was 28 years old at the time, and I said, well, I think if I knew how to fix this by now, I probably would have. Yeah. And he said, do you want this to, you know, do you want it to have a God component to it or not? And I'm a stubborn woman, so I said, if I'm going to change, I think we need an act of God. And just through that, I was introduced to Teen Challenge, and I wasn't, he left out the part during our meeting that it was a 12-month residential program,
oh.
And I consider that to be a bit of his wisdom again.
That's good. So, okay, yeah. So you were, oh, I'm going to use a phrase that you may not be cool with, but, I mean, were you a junkie? Like, is that it? Is that?
I was very much, I've had people that kind of came to me afterwards saying, like, even my doctor, because I had to get some forms filled out my doctor was even like, wow, you're going to make me do my job differently because I hit it so well. You wouldn't know. My husband knew because he knew my personality and he could see that I was clearly not the same person, but I was at the place that I was still keeping appearances.
Right. So you weren't like a full-blown crack hoe or meth head or whatever. You're like, your teeth weren't rotting.
No, I wasn't on the street.
No.
And that's what's incredible. I mean, about Teen Challenge, addiction's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you're from a broken home, if you're from a wealthy home, if you're from a working man's home. I mean, addiction's addiction.
See, hold on, I gotta interrupt. Jenny, this is so important, and the reason I wanted to be so crass about this is because I really think that people, especially in the God community, think, oh, I'm not that bad. I'm not, you know, I still have my teeth. I don't look like I'm a character off Breaking Bad or some, from the street or whatever. It's not. It's under control. And you did that. You did that. Keep it all under control. It was
right at
nights, and you hit it and the whole thing, but it didn't work.
We compare ourselves and say, well, we're not as bad as this person,
right?
Someone else in your circle of friends, right? So, yeah.
Okay. Not that it matters, but did your marriage last or no? Because that's hard to recover.
That's a good question, and it is hard to recover. Again, both my husband and I, neither one of us were Christian or, as you said, Jesus people at the time. But there was definitely something that happened in both of our lives, although we were separated, and that was that we both had a bit of hope deposited. As Paul pursued his own relationship and kind of learning about God, I was doing the same, and by the grace of God, I guess, forgiveness took place in our marriage, and we are still married, happily going into 6-7 years marriage.
So. Wow.
Yeah, it's possible.
Wow. Yeah, I thought for sure that that'd be the end of that, but...
You and me both.
Man, okay. Well, what are we... I don't even know how to end this thing, because I'm so afraid of the whole glory story, right? My life sucked, then I found Jesus, now everything's peachy.
Yeah, I like that you said that, because the reality is, and this is one thing that I really attest a lot to my program and being at TC, is that after I graduated, I did a nine-month internship. I was pregnant with our first child a couple weeks after I graduated. And, I mean, that was cloud nine. It was awesome. And then my world shook, and I had a baby who didn't stop crying for 4 months and no sleep. I had someone very close to me pass away. And life couldn't have got more difficult. And I like to tell you, I mean, it was a recipe for relapse, but if you work the program, if you put into place all the systems that you learn and you have accountability, you plug into community, you allow yourself to be transparent with the right people, that you say, like the glory story, I mean, the sobriety can continue. And people make mistakes. There's 32 signs of someone before they relapse. And if you're in a group of people that can help you identify that and you're willing to be honest about it, you don't have to get to the place where you're using drugs or alcohol.
Okay, so are you saying you've never jonesed for a little kick, a little hit?
No. I just don't want to let myself get there. I never test my sobriety. I don't hang out with people that drink excessively or obviously that don't do drugs. I just won't test it because I know I am flesh and I am weak. You know, and I just would never want to jeopardize what I continue to work hard for.
All right. Well, we've got people that are listening who I think probably need to call Teen Challenge. You happen to be the development officer for the Teen Challenge Women's Center in Aurora, Ontario.
Yeah.
So if there is a female listening, could they call you at the center and talk to you?
Yeah, well,
or
I'm on maternity leave, but they can call center, absolutely.
Right.
Okay. 905-727-3913.
Okay.
That's the women's center, but for men or women, as Dan said, we have centers for both across Canada, and that 1-800 number will be on your teenchallenge.ca website.
Right. And we're getting Tim to look that up.
That is 1-888-417-7777. 1-888-417-7777.
Thank you. Folks, it's been my pleasure to bring to you our charity of the month, Teen Challenge. As I said off the start of this interview, boy, they've been around a while. They've earned a fantastic reputation. Don't kid yourself. 100% of the people that go through Teen Challenge do not come out fixed on the other end. And if anybody says that their program does that, that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous, because there's humans involved here. I want to thank you again, Jenny, for sharing a bit of your guts with us. And I wish you the best. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Stuart. It's been a pleasure.
All right. You take care. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless.